Amen. We are a loving body with a heart for the world. Amen. Where God is honored, Jesus is exalted, and the word, Martha, is taught as the final authority for the life of the believer. Are you a believer today? Amen. Glory to God. Make sure you get a handout. We're getting some updating our information sheets on everybody, so make sure you fill one of those out and leave it on the back table. If you did get one, see Danny back there, and he'll make sure you get one. Some people are out of town. Some people are home catching a healing, and I don't know where everybody else is at. Those ones I know about. So we're going to be honoring our graduates today to let them know how proud we are of them, and we're going to pray over them and bless them. Bless them today. And God has given me an awesome word today, and it's called about letting go. Facing our fears of why we're not letting go. Amen. So get into praise and worship this morning, and get your heart ready to receive the word of the Lord. I want you to stand this morning. The word tells us in Romans, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who, what, can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So take comfort today. If you feel like nobody's praying for you or nobody's thinking for you, Jesus is constantly making intercession for you before God. Amen? Glory to God. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, a bad doctor's report, a phone call in the middle of the night, the car blowing up, getting laid off from the job? What can anything separate you from the love of Christ? And church, once you begin to get a revelation of how much God loves you, it will change your total perspective on life. You will have a whole different outlook on yourself and life and everything once you begin to receive the love of God and to get a revelation of how much Jesus loves you, that he is for you and not against you. Yet in all these things, in all those things that I just talked about, we are what? More than, not just barely get by maybe, but what? More than. So God's going to make you abound in every situation and in every circumstance. God is a good God. The devil is a bad devil. Amen. But we are more than conquerors. Why? Because of him who loved us. Amen. Just lift your hands this morning. Father, we come into this place not to beg or plead you for anything, but just coming into your presence. And when we come into your presence, anything in our life that's not of you has to die, because light always outshines the darkness. And we're so thankful for that light today that lives big in us. The world may see something in us that will make them want to change, that we don't conform to the world's way, but we conform to your way, which is your word that is forever settled in heaven concerning us and all that concerns us. Nothing that has happened this week, this morning, this afternoon, or next week that you have not already know about, and that which happens next week you already know about it, and you've already made a way of escape. We put our trust and total confidence in you this morning, that you are for us and not against us, that you have made us more than conquerors in you today. And in that, we can rejoice. And we come boldly into your throne room today, Father, because we stand in your righteousness, not anything that we've done, but simply because you've made us righteous. And we're so thankful for that today. Now, we just throw away everything that's happened this morning, God. Everything that's happened last night, Father. And we just throw that aside right now, because we want to hear from you today. And we as a people have a longing ear to hear that you are speaking. And we hear you. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. Oh, hallelujah. Glory, glory, God. My. The Spirit of the Lord is in this place. Hallelujah. We welcome you in this place, precious Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, church, the atmosphere just changed in this place right now. And whatever you have need of, I want you to reach out right now. The Spirit of the Lord is in this place to bring healing to your body, healing to your mind, healing to those torn emotions. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, yasiando no 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 ba 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 sa la diya to sia. Oh, la diya da koma ba ba sa la diya da koma ba. If you need healing in your body right now, just raise your hand. Raise your hand. No, furthermore, if you need healing in your body, I want you to come up here right now. There is a healing atmosphere in this place. If you know someone that needs healing in their body, I want you to come up here right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Whether it's physically, mentally, or emotionally, the devil brings torment. But the Lord says to you today, I'm your healer, that I am your more than enough. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Go ahead, the Spirit of the Lord says, what do you have need of? And if you will cry out to me, says God, and when you cry out to me, that's when you are drawing near to me. And I have given you the assurance of my word that when you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. And I will cause my breath to rest upon you. And the breath of my spirit will drive out any force that the enemy wants to take charge in your life. So the Lord says, I've come to reassure you today that I have taken notice of you and all that concerns you, says the Spirit of grace, and know of assurance that I've gone before you to even make a way. And even as you step out in the new, and even in the tomorrow, God says, I am there. I am already there. So he said, lay aside all those things that hinder you and watch my enforced rhythms of grace. Open doors that you thought was impossible. For God says, I will move the hearts of men on your behalf. And I will even move the hearts of kings on your behalf. And I will move even on your behalf, says God. So rest assured that I have you on my mind. I have you on my mind, says God. I have you on my mind, says God. And you've never, ever, ever... will I even let you go? Hallelujah. Father God, even as I lay hands on these people, these are believers here, God. Even as I lay hands on these people, we come into agreement with your word. With your word that's already established for them. That's already established for them. That it shall be done. You said, whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever's bound in heaven shall be bound on earth. And whatever's loosed in heaven is loosed on earth. And God says, my healing power is loosed on earth. My peace is loosed on earth because all those things are already loosed in heaven. Amen. Hallelujah.
worship the Lord, church. Just lift your hands and begin to worship the Lord. God is doing mighty things in this place and in the presence of the Lord as we worship and praise Him. Let the sweet aroma of worship fill this room. Come on now. Let it rise before the Father like a fragrant sweet perfume. Let our songs of praise be pleasing and our sacrifice consumed as the sweet aroma of worship fills this room. Let's go, church. Let the sweet aroma of worship fill this room. Let it rise. Let it rise before the Father like a fragrant sweet perfume. Let our songs of praise be pleasing and our sacrifice consumed as a sweet aroma of worship fills this room. Be glorified, Lord. Be glorified. Be worship Him, church, as she plays. Oh, we just pray for the sweet aroma of worship, Father God. Even in the, as in the Old Testament, Lord God, as they brought their sacrifices in and those sacrifices were burned and that smoke ascended into heaven, Lord God, this morning our worship ascends unto You, Lord, as a sweet fragrance of worship in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise You, Jesus. Oh, we worship and we praise You, Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We praise You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise Him, church. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise You, Jesus. I want to tell you something, church. Worship is not about how you feel this morning. Worship is not about coming in here and trying to make God do something. Worship is getting into His presence because He's worthy to be praised. Regardless of what you're going through, regardless of your circumstances, the worship is real and it's sweet. Hallelujah. Don't let it become such a habit. Worship is not singing. Worship is not music. Worship is not clapping your hands. Worship is what happens inside of you when these things begin to happen. When music starts, when words start, when prayers start up, and you begin to sense the presence of God and you come into His presence. Hallelujah. We praise You, Jesus. Oh, we praise You, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody's miracles in this place, and we're still worshiping God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I just pray that you received your miracle this morning. Hallelujah. There's lots of needs out there. Somebody's miracle is in this house today. Somebody here is getting healed. Come on. There's Holy Ghost power is flowing today. Somebody here is getting healed. Let's do it again now. Well, somebody's miracle is in this place today. Somebody here is getting filled. His Holy Ghost power is flowing today. Come on. Somebody here is getting healed. So I will praise him, for he has set me free. Come on and praise him. He brings a victory. I will praise him, for he has brought me out. He gives my feet a dance and fills my voice a shout. And I will praise him, for he has set me free. Praise him. He brings a victory. I will praise him, for he has brought Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Most of the family was up all night last night. We got a phone call early that Ricardo's mom was bad, had a stroke. She's still at Taylor County waiting to get taken to Louisville, but I want you to know that by the stripes of Jesus, she was healed. And the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in her and quickens her mortal body. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we're going to praise and magnify him because we see in the name of Jesus what God hath done. Amen. Amen. Come on. It's the only name, church. It's the only name that matters. Amen. As we continue an atmosphere of praise and worship in this house today. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah now. La 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 la. Oh, this is for the Lord this morning, church. La 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 la. Sing it to him, everybody. Yours will be the only name that matters to me, the only one whose favor I seek, the only name that matters to me, the only name that matters. Yours will be the friendship and affection I need to feel my Father smiling on me. Name that matters to me, and yours is the name, and yours is the name, the name that has saved me, mercy and grace and the power that forgave me, and your love is all I've ever needed. Talking about that love, Pastor Shirley. When I wake up in the land of glory, and with the means to me. The only name that matters to me. And yours is the name, and yours is the name that has saved me. Mercy and grace and the power that forgave me. And your love is all I ever needed. When I wake up in the land of glory, and with the saints I will tell my story, there will be one name that I proclaim. When I wake up in the land of glory, and with the saints I will tell my story, there will be one name that I proclaim. Hallelujah now. La 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 la. Just say the name of Jesus and his power. Saints, we need to remember that while we're in this world, it's not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up over there, right? Not just somewhere beyond the blue. I don't know if it's beyond the blue or not, but it's wherever he is. That's where our treasures are. Amen. Oh, we praise you today, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your freedom in Jesus' name, that freedom reigns here, Father God. Your grace reigns, Lord God. Hallelujah. Grace is freedom, and we thank you for that, Father God, in name of Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. many names, Father God, that we want to lift up into your presence today. I thank you, Father God, that your spirit has fallen upon Karen. I thank you that your spirit has fallen upon Brad and Ashley and on Geraldine and on Vivian and on Bonnie and Father God and on all these others, Lord God, that I know they've come forward and that and they've either the prayers have been for themselves or they've been for others. And Lord God, as a church, we're not interested in numbers. We're just interested in glorifying your name. Fill this place, Father God. Quietness of your presence, Father God. In Jesus' name. You know, there's different moods of the Holy Spirit. And there's times like last Sunday, I had the inside of myself last Sunday, I was feeling I can run through a troop and I can leap over a wall. And now in the presence of the Lord, there's such an atmosphere of his love and him saying, I've been here all along. You don't have to wait on me. I'm here. I'm ready for you just to tap in. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of we lift up. Praise you, Almighty God. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. You know, church, you may be seated. We're going to continue worshiping, and we're going to give. We're going to give to God. And I thank you, Lord, for providing for each one that gives. And we give, Father God, knowing already that you meet every need. You said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed gone begging bread. You said, I've been old and I've been young, but I've never seen that, David said. He said, I will provide all your needs, whatever your needs are this morning. Lord God, this offering is blessed in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Amen. You know, I don't sing this song that I don't thank God for where he's brought me. I thank God what I grew up, but I thank God at that point in time and season when God said, Laverne, I've set you free from legalism. Laverne, I have set you free. You're worthy because of my blood, Jesus Christ, and not because of anything you did. He said, you know, I didn't just save you and then said, all right, now you live right. He said, I saved you and I gave you grace to live right. Amen. All I can see was the struggle. Haunted by ghosts that lived in my past. The past that you're supposed to turn loose of, right, Pastor Shirley? Bound up in shackles of all my failures. Then you look at this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight that's already been won. I am redeemed. called unworthy. All my life I have been called unworthy. Maimed by the voice of my shame and regret. But when I hear you whisper, child, lift up your head. I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. Now I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. No, I don't have to be the old man inside of me, 'cause his day is long dead and gone. Why? 'Cause I have a new name, a new life. I'm not the same, and a hope that will carry me home. I am redeemed. Come on, church. You set me free. Now I'm not who I used to be. Oh no, I'm not who I used to be. Jesus, I'm not who I used to be.
Who are you then?
I am redeemed.
That's your new name. Do you know it? I don't know any other name that you've got. Your name's redeemed. Somebody says, well, who are you? I'm redeemed. That's who I am. Y'all know where I'm going next, don't you?
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Come on now.
Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever.
Now, what's your name, Matt, back there? Woo! That gives you hope.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood. Hallelujah. I had somebody come by the house the other day. And this was a person that's very, very intelligent. I mean, has a memory like you would never forget anything, you know. And they were talking about the time that Pastor went to the emergency room with a nosebleed that wouldn't stop. And his cousin was there, and he didn't know it. And he went in and prayed for him. And instead of dying that night, the cousin recovered at that point in time. And he went home, was able to make some things right. He died the next week, but God knew there were some things. He didn't let the enemy take him that night. And I want you to realize this, church. To live is see how did Paul put it? To die is gain. We don't have to fear death. I'm not ready to leave now, and I'm not letting Jerry go home yet. That's what he says. He says, the reason I didn't see nothing, the reason I didn't hear anything is because Laverne won't let me go very far. So even though his body's quit working, I didn't let his spirit go anyway. That's what he says. Hallelujah. Pastor Shirley, thank you, praise and worship team. We're not ready yet for the classes to be dismissed, I don't think, are we?
Okay. Praise the Lord. Amen. Looking forward the next few days and few weeks of what happened this morning in people's bodies. Yes, we are going to be hearing some good reports. Hallelujah. We've got some graduates we want to honor today. Let me get my notes here. We have Harley. You all want to come up here at Easton. And CJ. These are the names that I were given. So, and Stan. And Hope, his mama. You want to come up here? For those of you that may be new and don't know who Stan is, Stan started coming to church with me when he was about 3. And he's been away at UK for the last 4 years, so he hadn't been able to come. And so that's who Stan is. And he would follow me around, know more about this church than I did. And so, but this is his mom. She wasn't saved at that time. And he came for a few years, and it rubbed off on her when he went home. Everywhere Shirley went, Stan. Yeah. People still think he's my son. They won't know whatever happened to my son.
He can run a kids' camp all by himself.
Yes. So we are so proud of you all. So very, very proud. So we're going to pray over you all and give you a little gift and ask God's blessings on you, okay? Father, we just thank you for our graduates today. Thank you for their life, God. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you for your blessings on them and what they're going to accomplish in their life, where you are leading them and where you're taking them to, your plans for their life, God. We just thank you. Thank you for CJ. And I said, CJ, ever Sunday, you look like you go 3 inches the week before. But we're proud of you. We're just so thankful for you and God's blessings on your life and what God's going to accomplish through you and for you. Amen. 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 We got a little gift for you all this morning. Just to let you know how much we appreciate you and love you. And make sure I got the right ones here. Harley. And I believe this is yours. And CJ got by me, but CJ, we've got you something, and we'll give it to you later. I've got an office, I just didn't have a bag for it. Forgot about you, but we love you anyway. Amen. Amen. Deal with me, you're dealing with humans. Special classes for the youth this morning. So make sure you go in there and see what's going on. And the rest of the classes are, I guess they're having classes today. Can go to wherever they need to go to. Amen. Huh? Yeah, you can say something. Don't let nobody hear you.
You know what's happening. That
I know what's happening.
My baby boy, 22 years. He came home from college on Sunday and found out on Wednesday that he had a job. And so he's leaving, well, we're leaving out Thursday to move him into Nashville. Then we're leaving out on Tuesday to take him to North Carolina for training. Then somebody's going to take him from North Carolina to Nashville.
No, he's coming home.
Oh, he's coming home.
And then we're taking him back.
Okay. This is our planner.
I've got it all planned out. She just needs to go for the ride.
I just, you know, they say get in the car, and I'm like, okay. And so, and he starts his new job on the 12th, and just, you know,
pray for Mama.
Pray
for Stan's gonna be okay.
And pray for Stan to stay close to God.
Yes.
Yes. Because he's going to need him as much as Mama does.
Amen. Amen. Stan used to come out to the church with me all the time when I was out here every day. And I'll tell this on Kenzie before she gets out of here. Stan and Kenzie are born leaders, you know. They both are just born leaders. They could play together for a little while. And then they both decided they needed to be the leader. So they had to kind of get away from each other for a while. y'all need me? I don't need you. You don't need me? Oh, good. Are they okay? Huh?
Echo.
Now, how's that? Are we okay now? Okay. We okay? Hallelujah. Me just keep talking? Okay, keep talking. I can talk when I need to, and I just give me a flare on the wall when I need to be. So I guess I'm going to be talking today. A few weeks ago, I preached a message on forgetting what is behind. Y'all was here, remember that message? And how that Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, well, one thing I do, Paul says. He says, but one thing I do, I forget what lies behind, and I reach forward to what lies ahead. And Paul says, you know, I refuse to look behind me at my past. The word forgetting, we learned that day, means to cease to be affected by. He said, whatever happened back then, I'm going to not let it affect my life now. So he said, I'm not going to let the rest of my life be defined by my past. Amen. And what happened in my past. Amen? So I am more than what was. Amen? And in order to go forward to that which Christ has called me to, Paul said, I've got to forget what was back there. I forgot what I used to be, what I used to do, what I did to people, what people did to me. He said, I got to forget all about that. I got to get to the place where it's not affecting me, forgetting it. And so there was a movie last year called Frozen. If you're parents of younger children, Bethany, I'm sure that you can remember this movie. I've never watched it. But I did hear the lyrics to that song, and it kept playing over in my head, and I thought, that would make a good message. Let it go, let it go. And the lyrics was, let it go, let it go. Can't hold it back anymore. Turn away and slam that door. I don't care what they are going to say. Let the storm rage on. The cold never bothered me anyway. Let it go, let it go. Amen. We need to slam the door to our past and let it go.
Amen.
Amen. So let the storm rage on. The cold never bothered me anyway. Let it know. You know, one thing in life I found out when I really let go of the past and I knew that I had let go of it, because times in our life, our past wants to raise an ugly head and try to condemn us and put us down. But when you just began to keep turning it over to God, what begins to happen was you'll be like Paul. You'll really start forgetting it. And when you know that you've let it go and you're forgetting about it, it's when that ugly head of the enemy raises up through other people or situations or whatever, it doesn't bother you anymore. Anybody get that? It ceases to affect you. You're like, oh, okay. And you just keep on living life. That's when you know that you're letting the past go. That is when you know you're letting the past go. That when things begin to come up, it doesn't affect you like it used to. Amen? So change is happening. Will happen, bound to happen, and we need to make a decision to be part of it, not a problem to it. Because when you really look at it, the face in the glass that stares back at you every morning is your biggest problem. It took me a while to realize that when I got beside myself and out of my way and let God and let go, things really began to happen. So we'll never get from point A to point B in our life if we don't embrace change. Change is given in our lives, in our families, in our communities, our church, and in our nation. And if you don't believe that change really rears its people really rears their ugly head at change, you've been hid behind the woods and never watched the news. Because this nation is in total rebellion simply because of change. Somebody new come in office, and I'm, you know, and not political, but seen a whole bunch of stuff that needed to be changed, and the nation's gone crazy. So because change causes things to be different for it to be better, it causes you to look at things from a different perspective. So we're going to be looking at Israel, a time in Israel when Israel was wandering in the wilderness, moving away from Egypt where they were enslaved, moving on toward the promised land. So we pick up the story in Numbers. The Israelites are right smack dab in the middle of some great big changes. They had been poured under generations. Let me go back and let me give you some definitions first, because I've got a little ahead of myself here. Letting, when we talk about letting, it means to allow, agree, or permit. We need the gift of letting go. Amen? We need the gift of letting go. Because we as humans like to hold on to things, even if it's not for our betterment. Even if it's not for our good. Why? Because it's familiar. Even if it's causing us pain, even if it's causing us misery, it's familiar to us, bless God, and we're not about to let it go. We'll just sulk in our own misery. So, but we've got to get to the place where we allow ourselves and permit ourselves to be happy, allow ourselves and permit ourselves to do what the Word says to do, that whom the Son sets free is really free indeed. You've got to allow yourself that it's okay to be happy, it's okay to live life, and it's okay to laugh at yourself, and it's okay. Letting, that's what letting means, because you are too blessed to be stressed, as they say. So I want you to do something. I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell them that they need to let it go. Go ahead. You need to let that thing go. Amen? You've held on to it long enough. Go ahead and tell them it's okay. They're a Christian. They can't get mad at you. You're just prophesying to them. Okay? Just say, you need to let that thing go. Amen? You've held on to it long enough. Turn around and slam the door. Say amen. I hear the chains breaking this morning. I've heard chains breaking this morning. The gift of letting go, setting people free. And like I said about change, you know, we've heard that nothing is certain this life of death and taxes, but there is something that's certain also, and that's change. And we either can embrace it, amen, and go with it, or like I said a while ago, be the problem of that change. So Israel was right smack dab in the middle of some great big changes. They had at this point spent generation under Pharaoh's thumb of enslavement. This generation of people had known nothing but slavery. But now they find themselves in the wilderness. Wilderness meaning wasteland. It means desert. It means rough. It means dry. It means barren. No water. So they were led out of Egypt by Moses with the power of God. So now they're quickly approaching the land of promise to them, to their ancestors, the promised land that God said was theirs. And you go back and you begin to study that over and over again. He had to reaffirm that promise to them, even in their rebellion. Amen. So, but before they entered the promised land, in Numbers chapter 13, the Lord spoke to Moses and he said, send men out to spy the land of Canaan. Now listen to this. send the men up to spy the land of Canaan, which I am giving, which I have given, which I am giving to the sons of Israel. So Moses sent them from the wilderness. So you know the story. You go back and read it, how he sent out the spies to bring back the report of what they found in the land of promise. He said, this is a land flowing with milk and honey. They came back and said, but there is more there. There's also a land inhabited by the other, you know, and I'm paraphrasing this, them Ites people, them Nites people, them, you know, them Jebusites and, yeah, Canaanites and Hittites. There's always time to get people in trouble. The Israelites were intimidated by them, so they began to spread rumors among the people. It's occupied by giants. We can't go in there, even though they knew that it was God's promised land to them. Even they came back and said, the land is flourishing. They chose to look at what they could not do instead of what God had promised them. That was theirs. It was time for change. In Numbers 14, the people then began to weep, moan, and cry out to God. You brought us here to die. You brought us here to leave us and to forsake us. Forget not, you know, they forgot all about what God had promised them. But now they could return to Egypt, the wilderness, desolate, rough country, dry or barren. They began to work on a solution, not on how they will overcome those supposed giants that they had seen, but they were working on a solution on how to get back to Egypt, the land that God had delivered them from that they were enslaved in. They were willing to stay in the desert, the dry, desolate, no water, barren place, instead of going with the change that God said was theirs in order to get to the promised land. They had rather continue to be in slavery than to enter what God had promised them. Why? Because it was familiar to them. It was what they knew. You know, the message today is more than just forgetting. It's more than just about letting go. But what is the motivating factor behind why we don't let go? And that motivating factor is fear. The motivating factor of why we cannot let go is fear, because fear is the unknown. In this story, I see my life not as much now like it used to be, because I am growing and I'm maturing. God, still like a long ways to go. But I see it in the lives of people I meet and talk to every day. I see it in some of your lives. How we hold on to what God has said, let go, there is better. When we are faced with significant changes in our lives, we cannot be certain of the process of the change or the outcome. So then we back away from it because we are a people that like to be in control. When we go, we want to know how we're going to get there, how long it's going to take us to get there, who are we going to see before we get there, where are we going to stay before we get there. So that we bring that over into our lives and said, I know I need to change. God is saying changes, but God, I need to know how you're going to do it, when you're going to do it, how you're going to give me the help to do it, when are we going to do it, what do I need to do it? And instead of just saying, okay, God, let's embrace it and let's go with it, because it's called trust. It's called trust. That is where trust comes in. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your insight or your own understanding. In all your ways, not just what you pick and choose, but he said in all of your ways, acknowledge, recognize God. Then when we do that, when we begin to embrace that change, and we begin to do this, what Proverbs says, it doesn't matter how the journey goes, because we know that God is with us. Amen. And he will make your path straight and smooth, removing obstacles that block your way. And even though we have the promise of the Word of God, even though we have been given a glimpse of the promised land in our lives, the promises of God, we, like the children of Israel, are afraid sometimes. Afraid of change. Because we don't know what it's all going to involve. Like I said, the past is familiar. It becomes our comfort zone. So we actually choose to live in the wilderness of life because of fear instead of the promised land of God's blessings and promises. People had rather be enslaved to drugs and pornography and all of this stuff because they're not willing to get away from that which is familiar to that which is unfamiliar, which is God's blessings. That's sad. That's sad for me because I look back at my own life when I used to be that way. But thank God none of us were where we used to be if we are allowing the Word to change us. Amen. So fear. Fear. Number one. So let's look back at the Israelites in the wilderness and how destructive. I want you to understand how destructive fear can be and keep you bound to where you are at when God says it's more. Number one, fear blinds them to God's leading and God's promises. So when you are operating out of fear, you can't hear God. You can't see what God's doing. Number two, fear changes the wonderful gift of the land into a place of death. So when you are stuck in that spirit of fear, and it is a spirit, so it has to be handled spiritually, because fleshly things can't be handled by fleshly means. It has to be handled by the Spirit and the Word of God. Amen? So it changes the wonderful gift of the land into a place of death. Because you sense that God is saying, change, it's time to move on. This is what I want for you. But because you are choosing to stay stuck because of fear, those promises begin to grow dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. And they don't look as bright as they used to. And number three, fear transforms other humans, the Canaanites and others in the land, into monsters. And that's what happens with fear in our life. Fear will cause us to see things that are not really there. It's like, you know, when you were a child and you thought there was monsters under your bed. There were no monsters under your bed, but you were imagining they were because of your fear. And that's what happens in our life. When they saw the Canaanites and all the ites and nights and heights, they was like, these people are giant in our eyes, they said. God said, this is where I want you to be. He showed them the promise, but he also showed them the giant. But because of the fear of change, they would not allow themselves to quit looking at the obstacles and realize that if God said it was theirs, he was going to make a way for them to get there and to overcome when they got there. Amen? So fear will cause you to see things in a different perspective. But I've got news, good news for you today. In each one of these, trust God. Because faith, this is the good news, faith will cause you to see things in a different perspective also. Amen? Now, if you're operating in fear, you're going to see things outside of the Word of God. But if you're walking in faith and seeing things through the eye of faith, it's going to cause you to have a different perspective also. Because fear will cause you to think and to go places you never thought you would go and do. But faith will cause you to believe, to go places, see things, and do things that you thought you would never could do, that you could never do by the grace of God. Amen? God has the power to defeat, but he needed some give to the Israelites. So we're sitting here holding on to our familiar, even though it's killing us. That toxic relationship is killing us. That bitterness and hatred and strife is killing us, but we're not budging. And God said, I'm the deliverer. I need you to give. And the first part of giving and letting go is surrender. And saying, I don't know how you're going to do it, God, but I surrender. But I surrender. So he doesn't get the first generation that comes out, dies in the wilderness before entering the promised land because they refused to let go of their fear and give it to God because they did not want to change. They chose to stay in slavery instead of continuing on to the promised land because they got their eyes on the giants. And not the promises of God. And to step out in faith and say, yeah, there's giants there. But if God says I'm to go there and I'm to change in the process of getting there, then he's going to take care of everything else when I get there. Amen. So it's not just enough to rebuke fear and think it's going away. You can rebuke fear all day, but you've got to get to the root of why you are fearing. You could have a tree or something growing in your yard. You don't like it. It is ugly. It's not in the right place. It don't look good. It doesn't look good where it's at. And you could stand there and just rebuke that tree all day, and that tree's going to be there the next day. You could go out and cut that tree off at ground level. Hallelujah, it's taken care of. I've cut the thing down. And the sun will shine, the rain will come, and the next week it's growing back up. Why? Because you've not dealt with the root. That's why when you come in on Sunday morning, you're in the presence of God. And God's been doing some awesome things. Yes, I've let it go. I've taken care of it. Monday morning, you go out. Oh, somebody says something. And it brings back a memory or something. And you thought, I thought I let it go. What is wrong? Why can I not let these things go? Because you've not dealt with the root of fear. And you have to deal with it with the Word of God and what the Word says. And sometimes the first step is forgiving yourself. And saying, you know, I forgive myself for being ugly. I forgive myself for going there in my thinking. I allow myself, I let myself, I give myself permission. I may have been nasty and ugly, but I'm digging the root up. I'm digging that root up and I'm getting rid of it. Getting rid of it. You know, sometimes we surface cover. We surface cover things to make it look good. And the problem, the situation, the unforgiveness. You know, I go to church every Sunday. I read my word. I do all that. We're surface covering things. When deep inside, we're dying. Because it's you and you alone. You can't get away from your thoughts. And all these people running to different churches, different jobs, trying this and trying that, they're running from themselves. And wherever you go, guess what? You're there. Some wounds have to be debrided before healing can take place. They can't just be covered up. Because when you cover a wound up that needs to be debrided, is it debrided? Is that how you pronounce it? It will cause you to get a staph infection that will spread throughout your body and kill you. And so many times that's what happens in the body of Christ. We've covered, surface covered things and patted people on the back and said it's going to be okay. Instead of sitting them down and saying this is the truth of the word. It's like Laverne was telling us Wednesday night. She's very truthful with people. When people come to her and ask for prayer, for blessings, and she'll say, you're living in fornication. You are an adulterer and you're asking God for me to bless you? God doesn't bless sin. So we need to uncover the surface. Find out what the root problem is. Listen to what the word debris means. It's the removal of dirt, foreign objects, damaged tissue, and cellular debris from a wound or a burn to prevent infection and to promote healing. In treating a wound, debridement is the first step in cleansing. The Bible says the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing down even to the soul. Church is a good place for people to hide out. But I thank God He loves us enough to find us. Even in the midst of church, He loves us enough to find us and says, you know, you've got some things going on. We need to uncover that surface. Let my word get in there. And when God begins to deliver you and set you free of stuff, I'm here, it's not easy. It hurts. You will get mad at God, everybody else around you. But it must take place before change can take place in your life. And sometimes it's not easy. So let it go and let the healing take place. And just as God needed a little help from the Israelites, just a little gift from them, I should say, because God really doesn't need any help. He just needs us to surrender and trust Him. Amen? But instead of holding on, we need to let go. And that's part of give God from the Israelites. He needed them to give, so He needed a little giving from them. You want to be free, let go. We serve a God of life, church. But we cannot experience that life if all we have, hang on to everything that we need to let go of. And in order to experience a life worth living, we must let go of, we must let go of our fears, let go of our hang-ups, let go of all the excuses why and how we cannot change. We must let go of the toxic relationships. Let go of unforgiveness. Let go of the strife and bitterness. Fear will cause you to hold on things. Like I said before, fear will cause you to do things that you thought you would never do because you're operating out of that spirit. But the Word says that God's not given you a spirit of fear, but He has given you a spirit of love, and He has given you a spirit of a sound mind. But trust, faith in God will cause you to let go of things that are holding you back. Faith will cause you to believe that things are true if it's in the Word. Faith will cause you to go places and do things that you thought you would never do. Letting go slams the door in the past and opens the door to the future. Because whatever is behind the slammed door, don't go there and try to bring it out, but walk into the open door that God has set before you. So my challenge to you this morning, are you willing to go in to your relationship with God just a little bit further where you've never been before? Totally reckless abandonment to God. When God says, go, do, or whatever, no question. Okay, let's go. That's called trust, and that's called total surrender. Amen. It's God nudging you to let go. Dig up the root of that thing and let God heal the wound of your past so you could go through the door of better things. You read the article this morning that I wrote in the Sunday handout. I began to remember as a little girl going to school, they had a monkey bar. And I was always attracted to that thing. But as, like I said in the Sunday handout, as a little girl, that bar from there to there was a long way. You know, when you're in kindergarten and first grade, that bar is a long way. But I would go out on the playground every day, and I'd want to master that monkey bar. First 2 or 3 years of school, I couldn't do it because I didn't have enough strength. But every year when I'd go back, I would do it again. And I would do it again. I would fall, get up. I didn't know it then. I would always go back to the first bar and start all over. But that's not the way it is in life. If you fall down, just get up where you're at. You don't have to go back and start over. But pretty soon, by the time I was in the third, fourth grade, I mastered that thing. I challenged everybody on the playground that I could go across that monkey bar faster than they could. And I finally got it mastered. And that's the way it is with life. The monkey bars of life. Trust yourself enough. Trust God enough. Trust the God in you enough that when He says to let go, because you couldn't get from one bar to the next unless you let go. Yeah, I fell down a lot. But every year I was gaining more and more strength. Each year I was mastering on how to do it more and more because I practiced it. And it's the same thing with the Word of God. It's the same thing with the promises of God. You know, at first you may think that's impossible, but you keep practicing. It's okay. Keep practicing the Word. Keep reading the Word. Keep letting it go. And pretty soon, you'll master the monkey bar of life because there's a God that's bigger in you than any monkey bar of life that you're trying to cross. You're going to fall down and you're going to skin your knees from time to time. But God said, if you'll trust me, I'll direct your paths. And I will move any obstacles that are in your way. And as I was preparing this message, I was thinking of the hoarder show that I watch on TV sometimes. And how those people just hoard and hoard and hoard things until they cannot even walk through their house because they will not let go of anything. You've got to determine what's of value to you. Is your value of your relationship wanting to go further and further in your relationship with God? Is your value storing things up in your mind, forgiveness, under bitterness, not letting go, toxic relationship, and all those things? until finally you've got so much in your life that you're tripping up. Some of these people can't even walk through their house because they have so much stuff. Sometimes that's the way it is in our mind. We've become hoarders with things in our life that God has said let go of. And then we try to live life and we wonder why we're tripping up all the time. When our mind is so much of stuff that God says, let's go, let it go, slam the door to the past. Slam the door to the past. Stand to your feet this morning. Father, we thank you for your visitation today. We're so looking forward to the testimonies in the next hours, next day, next few weeks of people coming and saying, wow, this is what God did for me. And we ask you today, Father, Holy Ghost, that you would take your searchlight and that you would search the intents of our heart. And even in the warning of letting go of things that we want to hold on to, that we think that has value and that's, you know, all of those things. Lord, just we thank you for the strength to let those things go, that we can step into the new. Because change, in order for betterment, change has to take place. In order for things to be different, change has to change. And oh Father, we don't want the rebellion of the world to come into our lives and into our churches that then this is how I am. And I'm not going to be moved. We take authority over that spirit right now in the name of Jesus. And yeah, we just trust and rely on you, God, as you lead us day by day. And even though change sometimes can be painful, you never lead us, God, where you've not already destined us to go, and that we hear your voice. We know your voice, God. And I just speak that over these people today as they leave this place, that they have not come like they will not leave like they've come. Thank you, Jesus. Just think about that one thing today that you're having a hard time letting go, and I just want you to put it in your hands. And I just want you to say, God, I give it to you. I'm letting it go. I've held on to this thing long enough, and it has become a hindrance to me. And by faith right now, I just want you to take that, and I just want you to throw it down, and I just want you to stomp on it. In Jesus' name, help us walk into the future that you have planned for us, God. That we're not defined by our past. But we're defined by what your word says about us and who we are. Now, Father, I just speak your blessings over these people right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you that they are favored of God, that your blessings are running to overtake them, that they are the head and not the tail. And wherever they go this week, that they are a blessing to somebody. That there is so much of Jesus in us and the love of God in us that it just rubs off on people. And we thank you for that today. And the church said, amen.